ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भवत्प्रसङ्गानां सङ्गस्यानो भवे।
Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world due to our material contamination and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction, life after life, in different bodily forms and on different planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the best benediction that a devotee can ask of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Stane stita suruti gatam tanuva manobhi. One may be in one position or another according to destiny, but in any case, one must continue to hear about the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, regardless of circumstances. A pure devotee does not pray for liberation or for cessation of the cycle of birth and death, because he does not consider that important. The most important thing for a devotee is getting a chance to hear about the pastimes and glories of the Lord. The devotees who engage in the service of the Lord in this world will have the same opportunity in the spiritual world also. Thus, for a devotee, everything is in the spiritual world for as long as he can hear about the pastimes of the Lord, or wherever he can chant, the Lord is personally present. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. When the pure devotees assemble to chant, hear, and talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the place where they assemble becomes Vaikuntha. For the devotee, there is no need to pray to the Lord for transferal to the Vaikuntha world. A pure devotee can create Vaikuntha or Vrindavan anywhere simply by chanting the glories of the Lord without offense. The Prachetas pray for an opportunity to hear the glories of the Lord in every form of life, bhave bhave. A living entity transmigrates from one body to another. The devotee is not particularly eager to stop this process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhaktirahoyita ki tvayi. My dear Lord, life after life may I be fixed in your pure devotional service. Out of humility, a devotee considers himself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. He always thinks himself contaminated by the modes of material nature. Nor is there any need for a devotee to ask to be free from the modes of material nature. Devotional service itself is in the transcendental position. Therefore, there is no question of asking for this special facility. The conclusion is that a pure devotee is not anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death, but is always eager to associate with other devotees who are engaged in chanting and hearing about the glories
of the Lord.
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, Text 33. It is my most precious happiness to be amongst all of you once again. By the causeless mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath, I have come back to serve you. Today's verse spoken by Prachetas is revealing the heart of one who loves Krishna. Ahoitiki apratihata. For loving service to actually satisfy the soul, it must be unmotivated by any selfishness, by any egoistic consideration, and it must be uninterrupted by any type of circumstances that may come upon us within this world. Uninterrupted means a devotee must be very tolerant and very determined. Sometimes situations are favorable, and sometimes it's very difficult. Physical health, society around us, circumstances. We may be persecuted, unappreciated. There may be horrible environmental conditions, earthquakes, cyclones, too much heat, too much cold. It may be in the face of, we may be in the circumstance of death of loved ones, poverty, just everything going against our aspiration and our plans. If we become discouraged, then we really don't have love. Love means for Krishna's pleasure, we will pursue, we will continue. Mam ce yovya vicharina bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. To transcend the modes of material nature, we have to be dedicated in this way. Service not interrupted by circumstances. Inconvenience, construction. These are little things. But it is a test. And every time we pass a test, we are that much closer to Krishna. And every time we fail a test, we have lost the chance. So apratihata, ahoitaki apratihata. Uninterrupted our devotional service should be. a person who is willing to carry on their efforts to follow the regulative principles, to perform their sadhana, and to carry on their efforts in the mission of the Lord, is a person who could be depended on. Because things are going to go wrong. There will be crises. There will be tragedies. There will be sometimes insurmountable inconveniences. They will definitely come on everyone. So who does Krishna and who does Guru depend on? Not someone who this doesn't happen to, but someone who has that willingness that I'm going to remain faithful and true no matter what. We see our dear godbrother Pragosh Prabhu, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, very, very difficult physical circumstances. But carry on with their chanting, with whatever energy they have. Never become discouraged. It's always trying to do the service to their spiritual master that is expected. Death is actually not a big thing. What's important is our service. Because death cannot disturb a devotee's devotional service. If a devotee has that conviction, has that determination. So yes, the great devotees within history are those who Krishna and Guru can depend on in all circumstances. Not in America, they would call it a fair weather devotee. Yes, a fair weather friend. When things are very nice, then you can depend on somebody. But when they're very difficult, can you depend? That's love. Love between husband and wife. Sita, she didn't mind in the forest, amongst Rakshasas or Ayodhya. Didn't matter. I will do my service to Ram. That is uninterrupted. Srila Prabhupada, whether he's on Jaladuta, having heart attacks, living in Bauri, having powerful people trying to cheat him and exploit him here in India, even at certain times having disciples trying to control him and take over his mission, Prabhupada just carried on. His Guru Maharaj could depend on him. Krishna could depend on him. That's love. So this uninterrupted, unconditional service is described so beautifully in this verse. It is the consistent prayer within Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and other such Vaishnava literatures. The desire simply to serve, simply to be in the association of devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord in that association. Devotee does not care for liberation, does not care for mystic powers. Prabhupada says here, is not even concerned with elevation to Vaikuntha. Why? Because the devotee is humble. Prabhupada says here, all true devotees have this humility. Being a true devotee doesn't simply mean being a scholar or a charismatic person or a good manager or a good singer. What is the quality that all true devotees have? Prabhupada says he always thinks himself contaminated by the modes of material nature. Out of humility, a devotee considers himself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. And therefore, a devotee is praying for this benediction. We have often spoke of Haridas Thakur. He asked for the exact same thing. When given any benediction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only asked to be a dog or an insect near the house of a devotee so he could get the remnants of the food from the plate of that devotee. And following the same principle, Haridas Thakur actually felt ashamed that he asked that question, because he felt unfit, unworthy to even ask for something so high as that. Some of us are thinking, let me be a gopi in Vrindavan, and yes, you may want this, but are we fit to ask for that? Can you chant 300,000 names a day, every day of your life without fail, offenselessly, every name? If Maya Devi personally came to you in a secluded forest with all of her prowess, could you convert her and get her to surrender to you and take initiation? That was Haridas Thakur's power. And what is he praying for? He's just praying, let me be a dog, an insect, near the house of your devotee. In every birth I may take, life after life, let me just be able to get the remnants of the food of your devotees. Let me hear the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. And Haridas is thinking, I am unfit to ask for such an exalted position. That's the nature of a devotee. That type of humility. Srivas Thakur and his relatives, they were praying, let us even be birds or insects near the homes of your devotees so we can hear your glories from them. This is how exalted the Vaishnavas understand such a satsang to be. Neophyte devotees take such satsang for granted. We think it's something that I can just go to any time. But then if we think like that, then we're not really in an attitude to access the mercy which purifies our heart in that association. Narada Muni, just in his previous life as a maidservant's son, what a perfection he attained just by hearing the glories of the Lord from the Vaishnavas, rendering some very menial service, and once, with their permission, getting the remnants of their food. He became so much purified by that experience that even when his own mother died, he was only a small child. He had no father. He had no uncles or aunts. He had no brothers and sisters. His mother was his exclusive connection to this material world. As far as relatives or well-wishers, when she died, untimely, bit by a snake, it doesn't appear she was an old woman if he was a young child. But Narada Muni, he actually was able to just take it as the grace of the Lord. And all alone, just search for Krishna in the forests, in the agricultural fields, in the villages, the towns, the cities, and then back into the forests again. Just searching for Krishna, trying to find that essence that he heard from those great souls. And in his next life, he was so determined. Wouldn't give up. Even though so many frustrations, he just wouldn't give up. Because he kept striving. Krishna bestowed upon him the benediction of becoming the great Narada Rishi. And he spoke to little Prahlad in the womb of mother. And little Prahlad, even when he was in his perfection of remembering Krishna, he never got proud. How Krishna protected him in the most inconceivable circumstances. But he never wanted anything. He was always just thinking in terms of how Narada Muni had saved his life from such an abominable, horrible condition. Arivo, Prabhu. My obeisances. We were just discussing you. We have a right to our opinion. Very happy to see you. In this way, the greatest benediction, Prabhupada explains, that a devotee could long for is to be in the company of the devotees hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. That wherever Krishna tells, wherever my devotees gather together to hear and chant my glories, I never leave that place. That is the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada taught that the cities are generally in the modes of ignorance and passion. The forest is in the mode of goodness. But a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where devotees enthusiastically come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that is Vaikuntha. It is the spiritual world. It is not of this world. Our consciousness may be of this world. But if we take shelter of that association, in that atmosphere, we become purified. We realize the great benediction that we've been given. Prabhupada told devotees in 1973 that you are all liberated. Devotees couldn't understand Prabhupada saying you're liberated. But devotees are struggling with their senses and struggling with their mind and so many temptations they're fighting against. This is liberation. And Srila Prabhupada explained, as long as you're just following this process of Krishna consciousness according to the order of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, you're in the liberated state. You're chanting the names of the Lord. You're discussing the topics of the Lord. You're performing the service of the Lord. You're sharing that mercy with others. That's the liberated condition. If we just continue to associate with that state of consciousness, gradually we realize it. Prabhupada said, you're actually acting in a liberated condition. You just have not realized it yet. Prabhupada said in Krishna consciousness, the end and the means to achieve the end are the same. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That the holy name of Krishna has descended from Goloka. This is the authoritative words of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Kalikale Namurube Krishna Avatar. Krishna has descended from the spiritual world in the name. So if the holy name, if this Maha Mantra has descended from Goloka, what are they doing there? Eternally chanting Hare Krishna. And what are we doing here? It is our aspiration, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Satatam kirtiyantamam yathantas chadrita vrita. Krishna tells, what are the qualities of his devotees? Always chanting my glories. Satatam kirtiyantamam. And always endeavoring with great determination. When Prabhupada was asked, what do you hope to get by chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada didn't say mystic powers or liberation. Prabhupada said, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna with love. In the liberated state, we will spontaneously chant the holy names in ecstatic love for all of eternity. Now, in order to achieve that platform, we are doing the same activity of chanting and hearing and serving under regulative principles, because that's what will purify our hearts. So we should not take Krishna consciousness cheaply. Sometimes we see devotees, especially in India, and even people who aren't devotees, they artificially talk to Krishna as a friend or as a child or as a lover. Yes. But unless we realize and surrender to the spirit of servitude, we can't really enter into the realm of these more higher condensed forms of pure unalloyed service. So here we find the Prachetas and Srila Prabhupada confirming how their only benediction they want is just the chance to be with Vaishnavas, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And Haridas Thakur and other great souls, they're praying, even if it means being a dog or an insect, I want to be in that association. Prabhupada says here, a devotee does not feel fit to ask for anything beyond this. It is that type of humility that attracts Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, but Krishna is attracted by devotional service. Srimati Radharani is Krishna's Ladini Shakti. She is attracting Krishna eternally. And devotional service is her energy. Wherever that pure desire to serve is manifested, Krishna is attracted to that. In fact, Krishna tells that I am prisoner in the heart of my devotee. The story of Bilva Mangala Thakur. He was so determined for Krishna that when he saw that his desire for sense gratification was diverting him from the path, he was willing to make himself blind. Now, please do not imitate him, because you will not get the same result. But this was the intensity of his desire. My eyes are distracting me away from Krishna. Give them up. And he was blind. He went to Vrindavan. And there he couldn't see. It is said, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. And Vrindavan is none different than Krishna. So in Bilva Mangala Thakur's case, he really followed this. Do not try to see Vrindavan, but try to serve Vrindavan in such a way that Vrindavan wants to reveal herself to you. So he was so much immersed in humility and prayer and hearing and chanting constantly that Krishna would come to bring him milk every day, and he didn't even know it was Krishna. He couldn't find his way around in the forest paths. Krishna would come every day and hold him by the hand and take him from place to place along the road. And he didn't know it was Gopal. But one day when Krishna was going to go home, he was just so overwhelmed with the imminent separation from Krishna. He just couldn't tolerate it. Then he realized, why am I so insurmountably attached to this child? My entire consciousness is consumed by the attachment to this child. Who is this child? Then he realized, this is Krishna. I'm not going to let you go, Krishna. I'm not going to let you go. Krishna, I'm going. You can't hold on to me. I'm not letting. And Krishna got out of his hand. And Bilva Mangala Thakur said, oh, Gopal, you may have the power. You may have the power to escape from my hand, but you have no power ever to escape from my heart. And that is the truth. In the sense of Haridas Thakur, we were explaining previously, but for the pleasure of Pragosh Prabhu, we will repeat. Haridas Thakur in the Mahaprakash is asked by Lord Chaitanya, accept any benediction. Anything. Elevation to the spiritual world, liberation, mystic cities, anything, ask. Haridas didn't want anything. He refused to ask for any benediction until Lord Chaitanya just, I want you to ask for something. It will make me happy. Ask. So there's one desire in my heart that I have, that I would like you to fulfill.
if it pleases you.
In every birth that I may take in this world, let me be in the association of your devotees, in a situation where I can get the remnants of their food. Even a dog or insect near the house of your devotee, give me that benediction, where I will always get their remnants. Always hear your glories. The devotees were crying when they heard him say this. And he became ashamed. Haridas Thakur said, "My Lord, I'm unfit to ask for such a high thing. How can I ask, in my abominable sinful condition, how can I ask for something like that?" When Haridas Thakur sincerely revealed the humility of his heart and his deep appreciation for the Vaishnavas in this way, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed, "Haridas, I am a prisoner forever in your heart. I cannot escape your heart. The Lord is helplessly attracted to the simple and pure love of a devotee. Although he is all attractive." And that's what bhakti is about. The relationship of attraction. Krishna's form, his beauty, the sweetness of his character, his wonderful playing of flute, his pastimes, his abode, his names, his devotees. When devotees hear about Krishna and remember about Krishna in these ways, they become attracted because Krishna is all attractive. And when devotees become attracted to Krishna and surrender to the service of Krishna, then Krishna becomes attracted to that service. In this way, bhakti means really the science of everyone being defeated. Yes, in the material world, people want to defeat their opponent. But in bhakti, everyone wants to be defeated. Krishna is longing to be defeated by the love of his devotee. And the devotees are longing to be defeated by Krishna's love. That is the humble disposition of devotional service. Because Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha, Krishna's name, Krishna's glories are none different than Krishna himself. Srila Prabhupada writes that when we are hearing Bhagavad Gita from Prabhupada's books, or from a sincere devotee who is honestly and earnestly presenting those teachings, there's really no difference between our position and Arjuna's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada went to upstate New York to this retreat center of Dr. Mishra for a program. And in those days, the devotees, they were all quite new. Hayagriva Prabhu had beard and long hair, played a big drum and trumpet. In fact, Prabhupada, when he went to San Francisco, he wrote a letter to Hayagriva Prabhu and said that every day at Mangal Arati, I am feeling great separation from Hayagriva's trumpet playing. Just to play trumpet for Mangal Arati. But they went to this retreat center. And it was a beautiful summer night. Hayagriva Prabhu, there was no room inside, so he was just sleeping outside under some tree with the starlight above. And he had an amazing dream. He had a dream where he saw Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Then the dream was transformed. And he was sitting in the place of Arjuna, and Prabhupada was sitting in the place of Krishna. And Prabhupada was teaching Bhagavad Gita to Hayagriva Prabhu. And in this dream, he was thinking that there's absolutely no difference between me hearing from Prabhupada and Arjuna hearing from Krishna. So he went and he told Srila Prabhupada this. He told him the nature of the dream and what his conclusion was, that there's absolutely no difference between Arjuna sitting in Kurukshetra hearing from Krishna and any of us sitting and hearing from you. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is true. There is no difference. Because it's Krishna's words. Krishna's words are Krishna. Krishna's name is Krishna. To realize that is the perfection of our life. So it is not that we have to go somewhere. Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, a devotee is not concerned with going back to Godhead in the spiritual sky. A devotee knows going back to Godhead is being absorbed in hearing his chanting in the association of devotees anywhere in this world. Nadanam na janam na sundarim gavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. Lord Chaitanya is trying to teach us the highest realms of pure unalloyed love of the spiritual world. This is the consciousness that brings us there. Not some imitation, not something cheap. That I do not want money. I do not want the opposite sex. I do not want to be a great scholar. Poet. I do not want followers and fame and prestige. I do not even want liberation. The only thing I ask, my Lord, is birth after birth after birth after birth. Allow me to be your unconditional servant. Now, what does this mean? Why he's saying birth after birth after birth after birth? Why doesn't he just say, I want to be a gopi in Vrindavan? Why doesn't he say that? Why doesn't he teach us to say that? Why this birth after birth after birth? Does that sound palatable? Abramabhubanaloka punaravartanojana mamupetitukontiya punarajanmanavidyate. We learn from the Gita that from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they're all places of misery because they're all temporary. But one who goes to my abode never takes birth again in this world. Huh? Krishna said, go to my abode. Otherwise, if you go to my abode, you'll never have to take birth in this world again. It's a miserable place, whether you're in Brahmaloka, Patalaloka, what to speak of this earth. Yes. So why Lord Chaitanya and the Prachetas and Haridas Thakur and all these great souls are saying, birth after birth after birth, let me just be in the association of your devotees. Let me just hear your glories. Let me remember you. Because yes, Krishna is saying that this material world is a miserable place. If you attain my abode, you'll never have to take birth again and suffer. Prabhupada reveals the secret. Have any of you ever thought that way before? If Krishna tells us to get out of this world, why the great souls are saying birth after birth after birth? Why Prahlad Maharaj is praying, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I just want to be here and serve you. Wherever there's a fallen soul that needs help, let me stay here.
this purport reveals. Because the humility of a true devotee, of an advanced devotee, is a devotee considers him or herself unfit to ask for such an extraordinary benediction to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says herein, a devotee even considers himself unfit to be asked to be free from the modes of material nature. Even that's such an exalted position. Therefore, this is what a devotee prays for. Let me be free from all of these attractions and aversions so that I can serve you unconditionally. That is Vaikuntha. When we have that consciousness, then Krishna takes us back to Godhead. If we demand going back to Godhead, Krishna will keep us here. But if he sees that humility, he sees that we're following in the footsteps of the great souls, Prabhupada says, then Krishna will take us back. He will want us. Krishna takes back to Godhead people he wants, people whose qualities attract him. If we take things cheaply, if we're arrogant, if we're proud, if we have all kinds of expectations, no. We have to get purified of all that. But when a devotee considers I am unfit for something so high, let me just get the remnants of your devotees. Let me just be in their association to serve them, to hear the glories of the Lord from them, to chant the holy names with them, birth after birth after birth. Wherever Guru and Krishna want us to serve, that is our Vaikuntha. When we have that pure, unconditional desire in our heart, then we will attract Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes, Giriraj Prabhu.
Maharaj, you said that pure devotees, they think themselves unfit to go back home, back to Godhead. But Maharaj, most of us time, our right now, the long effort, unending effort seems to be, at least I think that I am fit to go back home, back to Godhead. But trying to come to that understanding that I am totally, totally unfit, where is the question of going back home, back to Godhead? You know, even if we can become humble and serve the genuine Vaishnavas. That journey seems to be very, very long, Maharaj. And it has its own obstacles, Maharaj.
That is the beauty of Krishna's mercy. When obstacles come, the obstacles hasten the journey for those who are sincere. In one sense, the consciousness of pure devotional service is so very, very far away. But in another sense, Krishna can give it in a moment. He just wants to see our desire and our sincerity. That's all. Prabhupada doesn't say we should be unfit. Prabhupada says we should think we're unfit. Haridas Thakur was quite fit. Before he asked to be a dog or insect near the house of a devotee to get remnants, birth after birth after birth, he already had Maya Devi surrender to him and become his initiated disciple. He's quite fit. But he was thinking himself unfit. Yes? Prabhupada was so fit. But yet, read his prayers on Jaladutta. The entire prayer on Jaladutta, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, is just Prabhupada telling Krishna how unfit he is. I have no power to convince them. I have no devotion. I have no knowledge. But you've given me this name, Bhaktivedanta. Now it's for you to fulfill the purport of this name. Make me puppet. Just let me be a puppet in your hands. And make me dance as you want me to dance. If you do not give me the words, there's nothing I can say to convince them of your message. You're insignificant beggar. Prabhupada was a scholar. He was a pure unalloyed devotee. He was a resident of Vrindavan. He was empowered by the order of his spiritual master. He was supremely fit. But he was considering himself completely unfit. And Prabhupada explains here that humility is the nature of all true devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur promised his followers if they just remained true to serving him, they would go back to Godhead in this very life. And Prabhupada essentially gave us the same promise. None of us will ever go back to Godhead because we're fit. Our only hope is causeless mercy. Yes? All we have to do is attract that causeless mercy by our sincerity, by our humility, by our dedication. And every single one of us can do that right now, today, in this very life. There is no excuse. It may be difficult, but we can do it. And life is only a few short years. If we just do it for these few short years, just be sincere. Cultivate humility, cultivate dedication. Follow the order of Guru and Krishna with earnestness. That's all we have to do. And then Krishna bestows his mercy. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayanandriyaischaran atma vishayavid he atma prasadamarigachchati. This is the process. If we follow these regulative principles just with sincerity, then we attract the complete mercy of the Lord. And by the mercy of the Lord, we become free from the attractions and aversions of the dualities of life. And Krishna takes us back home, back to Godhead, in whatever way he likes. So just be the servant. Just take shelter of the holy name. Guard against the offenses. Become attached to the association of devotees. Become attached to hearing about Krishna's names, Krishna's teachings, and Krishna's pastimes in the association of devotees. And be eager to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Just do that. Can you do that? We can try. If we just try sincerely, then Krishna and Guru's mercy will take us back to God. It's not so far. Would you like to add anything for Ghosh Prabhu? Can you give microphone to... You are so effulgent. I think Krishna's, through the medium of chemotherapy, he's injecting bhakti into you.
I feel unfit to offer any comment. I don't want to reflect anything from your class. I would rather hear. I'm enjoying like anything.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you give me that?
I am your servant.
Hare Krishna.
Everywhere I go in the world, by Prabhupada's order, I've traveled to quite many places since the last 5 months. And everywhere and anywhere I go, in America and Europe, first thing everyone asks me is, how is Pragosh Prabhu? Have you heard any news? Because of his sincerity to serve Prabhupada and the devotees, he has attracted the hearts and the love of devotees all over the world. And what greater benediction is there than that? Than to have the love of the Vaishnavas. Bill Gates is a pauper in comparison to one who has the wealth of the love of a Vaishnavas. It's beyond any calculation by material standards. Because the heart of a Vaishnava is the abode of the Lord. And to be loved by a Vaishnava is to be loved by Krishna. When a devotee cares about us, that's Krishna personally expressing his care through the heart of his devotee in the most special way. To be grateful for that, to see the value and aspire for that, is the path of perfection. Is there one more question? Yes, Sri Rama Prabhu.
In this verse, Maharaj, we heard that the Prachitas are praying for the association of devotees, and you explained so beautifully about the importance of the association of devotees. But what is the situation of a devotee or a group of devotees where we, over the period of years, tend to take the association for granted and really not really appreciate the association and, you know, not take full advantage of the association? What is the reason of this happening, and what is the consequence if this happens?
First concern is the quality of that association. When the Prachetas or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are talking about sadhu sangam, that means a place where people are actually taking pleasure in sharing with each other their devotion to Krishna. Mach chita mat katha prana bodhayanta parasparam katyantas chamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. When my devotees come together, they find so much jubilation and happiness discussing topics about me. Yatredyante kathamrishtas trishnayo prashamojata.
There is a beautiful verse in this chapter where it is described that when devotees come together specifically to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then in that association, they transcend material miseries and they transcend all envy amongst each other, at least for the time being. That's what the verse says. As soon as the subject matter changes, then the potential to be envious of one another again comes into our lives. So sometimes we're not attracted to the association of devotees because devotees gossip. Yes? Prajalpa. In one lecture, Prabhupada explains, when you speak prajalpa, your very spiritual life force is just draining out of your mouth. You just lose your spiritual potencies and energies when you speak prajalpa. But Maya is so intelligent that it tastes like nectar. It tastes like nectar, prajalpa. But in the process, we're losing our very life. We're drinking poison. When we gossip and criticize devotees, Lord Chaitanya said, criticism of devotees is drinking poison. Just like sense gratification. Narottam Das Thakur, in Hari Hari Bipale, he samsara vipafale, he says that I have simply been drinking the poison of sense gratification in this material world. How unfortunate I am. I've not tasted the nectar of Radha and Krishna's leelas. Sense gratification is drinking poison. Criticism of devotees is drinking poison. Now, if you're clever, if you want to poison somebody, you'll give a poison that has no flavor. And you'll put it in something that has very delicious flavor. Now please, don't take these instructions. But this is the way Maya gets us. You're taking sweet rice, kheer, paramana, with camphor and ghee and saffron. It tastes so nice. But if there's a drop of poison, you don't taste the poison. You just taste the sweetness. But the poison acts, and you die. In a similar way, all these sense gratificatory endeavors, Krishna has explained. He's pointed it out very specifically. Yehi samsparashucha bhoga dukha jonayavate atyantavanta kontayanate shuramate buddha. An intelligent person does not take part in the temporary activities of the senses with their objects. Why? Because they're the sources of misery. There's the drop of the poison of material bondage and birth and death every time we try to enjoy separate from Krishna. Yes? And Lord Chaitanya said, when we criticize devotees, we're drinking poison. And when we praise devotees, we're drinking nectar. So yes, if our association, there's political talk or criticism or gossip, whether it's true or not, it's not worth destroying your spiritual life over. Yes? Somebody halfway around the world has some problem. What are you going to do about it? So why are we talking about it? Unless we're really talking with a lesson to be learned, with sympathy and compassion for that person and trying to help each other overcome these temptations ourselves. But if we're just talking, nothing, useless.
That's not association of devotees. Association of devotees is where we come together to enthuse one another to speak about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he would perform incredible services all day. And when the devotees were sleeping at night, he was translating and writing purports to his books. Prabhupada, he described this was the principal feature of his mission to give these books. It was very specifically the order of his Guru Maharaj and at Radha Kund. Print and distribute books. Prabhupada said his books were his devotional ecstasies, his purports. Now, why do you think Prabhupada spent so many tens and thousands of hours sitting in the night in so many difficult circumstances just translating and writing purports? To give us something to talk about. That's what it's all about. Prabhupada said, if you hear nicely, then you will speak nicely. If we're hearing his books, then we want to talk about his books. Of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of pages and purports and wonderful treasures that Prabhupada gave us, how much we have to talk about. We read it, we discuss it, we hear it, we talk about it. Machchitamakata prana bodhiyanta parasparam katiyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. This is the pleasure of devotees. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We have Chaitanya Bhagavat and so many great Vaishnav literatures. Prabhupada gave us these books to hear about, to find pleasure in, and to speak about. We shouldn't even have time to speak about anything else except the practical necessities and ways by which we could disseminate this treasure to others. All of these temples, Prabhupada said, the only purpose of the temples is to give people the chance to associate with devotees. But what is the association about? Well, we're repeating the words of Prabhupada's books. We're alive and we're ecstatic to discuss these topics and to chant Harinam. That's all. In one beautiful purport, describing the activities in Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur, said the only thing going on there was just worshiping Krishna, talking about Krishna, and chanting Krishna's names. And Prabhupada says, this is the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's all. Just worshiping Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and chanting Krishna's name in the association of devotees. It's wonderful. If we create that type of association, we won't take it for granted. At least, well, we will take it for granted. That's the problem. But we can overcome that in that association. When we hear transcendental knowledge, we understand its value. Here the Prachetas are seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, face to face. What an elevated position they were in. They received mantra from Lord Shiva directly. And they're asking for this. Haridas Thakur is asking for this. Lord Chaitanya is asking for this. That there's no greater benediction in all of creation that a devotee could long for than just to be in the association of Vaishnavas, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. When we read this, then it helps us to overcome this tendency to take things for granted. Yes? It's very important. And that's what we should be discussing when we're together. Those subject matters that help us to overcome this complacency. Jesus said, be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. We have to have enthusiasm. We have to have determination. Not only to be in the association of devotees, but every devotee's responsibility is to contribute to that association of devotees. And Krishna will reciprocate. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehana rasavara samyasopyasya parandrisvani vartate. When Krishna sees we're sincere, he'll give us that higher taste. If we have the spirit of serving the Vaishnavas, Krishna will keep our enthusiasm alive. We cannot be lazy, we cannot be complacent. We must guard against offenses. Haribo, thank you very much.